Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
We're gonna get into something here today, continuing something that I'm really excited about, and I'm hoping you're taking good notes and not just coming to hear the word, but coming to get a word that you can apply to your life. We're looking at seven things in Scripture that we can apply to our life that'll take us to the next level. Number four today, we get to the fourth step. This one may not give you any chill bumps, or you know, you may not shout, but this word will give you breakthrough. Number four, today we're going to talk about responsibility. Taking responsibility for your life. Now, when you hear what we're going to deal with, and you look at the scriptures that we're getting ready to look into, I don't have any doubt in my mind that this word will take you to another level. So, you know, this may not be one of those services that you get real excited about. You know, you'll leave church. Somebody said, man, what did the pastor talk about today? Well, responsibility. You know, it might come across like that, but I promise you this word will take you to the next level. Watch this here. We read before the prayer in Galatians 6, verse 5. Galatians 6, verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Can you quote that out loud? For every man shall bear his own burden. What does that mean? It means I am responsible for myself. I am responsible for myself. Now, let me explain to you what responsibility means. If you're taking notes, I want you to write out the word responsibility. And then what I'd like for you to do is I'd like you to break it up into three parts. Separate the R-E from the sponse. And then separate sponse from ability. And you'll see three parts, response and ability. And those three parts to the word help you understand it. The word re there just means turn. Just about any time you see re in a word, it's speaking of something turning. And so when you look at re, something's being turned or given over. Sponse is short for sponsor. Sponsor. You might have seen a program and said, this program was sponsored by. Or there might be an event, and this might say, this event was sponsored by. You might play on a softball team, and the softball team has a sponsor, and they paid for the uniforms and the cleats and the helmets and the jerseys or whatever. The word sponsor just means to assume cost. So if you're a sponsor, you're assuming the cost. So when you look at the word responsibility, It means this basically. It is the ability to assume the cost. The ability to assume the cost. Say that out loud. The ability to assume the cost. So if you're not able to bear the cost of a thing, then you can't be responsible. Responsibility means I bear the cost. I bear the burden. I pay the price for this thing. And it's so important that you and I learn the power of responsibility, because until we show that we can bear the cost, that we can assume the sponsorship of our lives, God cannot expand our reach. He cannot expand our territory. If we are irresponsible where we are with what we have and what we're doing, how can we ask God to give us more when we're not even showing we can handle where we're at right now? So responsibility, or the lack thereof, actually determines where you go in life. And outside these walls, church, you've got to know that this world we're living in, this culture, this society, doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. We are living in a society that wants to blame everybody and everything for their own personal dysfunction and failure. And when you and I walk around with the mindset that we have an excuse for being irresponsible, then that excuse will justify our current status. And we cannot excel, we cannot grow, we cannot succeed, we cannot prosper in the things of God. If we take on that mindset, I'm not responsible for this. Now, the first thing that I want to cover here is that we have to take responsibility for our own life. We have to take responsibility for our own life. Look at what he says here in Galatians 6:5. Every man shall bear his own burden. Read it again out loud. For every man shall bear his own burden, which means I have to assume the cost for my own life. I am responsible for me. Say that out loud. I am responsible for me. I get some kids are in here, our four children in here, and I recognize there's some children that can't assume the full cost of their own life, so we're not going to shove them out in the cold and say, Pastor said, you got to take responsibility. So you can't say to your four-year-old, let's see what you eat today without my help. That's not what I'm talking about. Put a bookmark here in Galatians 6 and come over with me to the book of Matthew, and I want to go to the 25th chapter, Matthew chapter number 25. Now, as old as sin, if you went all the way back to the first sin committed by man, that's as old as the blame game is. When Adam sinned against God, and did not show up to walk with God in the cool of the day. And God said in Genesis 3, Adam, where art thou? Adam showed up and he said, well, Lord, that woman you gave me. That woman you gave me is the reason I didn't show up to walk with you today. He was blaming the woman and he was blaming God. Because he said, that woman you gave me. He was basically saying, God, had you not given me that woman, I would not have sinned and I'd have been where I was supposed to be. So God brings in that woman. And she said, that devil that you created beguiled me and tricked me, and it's his fault. So as old as sin, that's how old the blame game is. Neither Adam nor Eve in the beginning bore the responsibility for their own sin. Neither one of them took ownership of what they had done. They both pointed the finger. And the reason I bring that up is that it is in our sinful nature to not take responsibility for our own actions. In other words, we did not come out of the womb. We did not grow up as children with it in our DNA to be responsible. By nature, we're irresponsible because that's the sin nature. By nature, we don't want to take ownership of our own mistake, our own sin, or our own life. By nature, we want to point our finger at everybody else because everyone is to blame for what I didn't get, what I didn't achieve, where I didn't go. That's in our DNA. That's natural. You don't have to be taught to be irresponsible. You don't have to be educated on how to cast blame. That's as old as sin. That's a part of our sin nature. So when you see it going on out in the world, it's to be expected because that is the natural instinct of man to say, whatever condition I'm in, it's somebody else's fault. But what I'm trying to show you today through the Word of God is that if you will allow everything in your life and every person in your life to bear the blame for where you are, and you allow everything in your life to be the excuse that justifies you, you can never grow beyond where you are because the excuses that you're making justify your status. They justify your position. They justify your condition. And you can't go to the next level because in your mind, you're excused to stay at the one you're at right now. But what I want to do today is show you that God has equipped you with his word. God has equipped you with his nature. God has equipped you with his spirit. He has equipped you with wisdom and with strength, and you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength, and you can bear the responsibility of life, and you can break every excuse and overcome every obstacle. Yeah, I said it that way. You can overcome and go to that next level because that's what God's Spirit has gifted you with. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you something here in Matthew 25 because this is an area of our life that ultimately controls our destiny. It is an area of your life, your ability to take sponsorship of your life, your own ability to be held responsible. That dictates your future. You cannot grow beyond what you can assume the cost for. You can't grow beyond it. So if you develop responsibility, your life begins to grow. As you show no responsibility, you begin to regress. Why? Because anything in your life that you will not take responsibility for will leave your life. And I'm going to show that to you in the Word of God. If what I take responsibility of comes into my life, what I do not take responsibility of leaves my life. You buy a new car and don't be responsible to make the payments and see how fast that car leaves your life. And you had on the license plate, on the front, a little personalized plate. You know, I know some states you got to have a plate on the front and the back. Louisiana, we just got to have one in the back. So you got a little personalized plate you went and put on the front bumper, and it said, prayed for. And you got your dream car. And then a few weeks or months later, we look and we say, man, what happened to old prayed for? Man, you know the devil is busy. He is? The devil hijacked your car? No, they repossessed it. Why? I didn't pay for it. Oh, prayed for it wasn't paid for. I see. See, if I'm not responsible to assume the cost of what's in my life, then it leaves my life. And there are a lot of people that have lost a lot of things in their life because they would not take responsibility for what God had placed in their life. Hallelujah. Now, responsibility is a two-edged sword because you have to know what it is God's called you to be responsible for and what He's not called you to be responsible for. Now, watch this here in Matthew 25. When you get there, say amen. Verse 1, this is a parable that Jesus was teaching here. Watch this in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of God, heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like 10 virgins who took their lamps to go meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise. Five of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. What you say? That's like having a flashlight with no batteries. You look like you're ready for darkness because you got the flashlight in your hand. But what we don't know is that you didn't put no batteries in it. And so you look like you're ready for the future. You look like you're ready for the darkness, but it's all a facade because your flashlight has no batteries. Here they had the lamp, but they didn't have any oil. They looked like they were ready for the darkness. They looked like they were ready, but they weren't ready because they knew very well that they bought a lamp but never bought any oil. Why wouldn't they get any oil? Why would you have a lamp with no oil to burn? Because oil cost, and because the oil made the lamp weighty. It cost me to buy the oil, and it made the lamp heavier to tote. So they had the lamp, but they had no oil in the lamp. Verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, we got ourselves a problem. If the Lord had come at the noonday hour, we'd have been all right because we wouldn't have needed our lamps. But dawn, if he didn't show up at midnight, pitch black outside. I got my lamp, but I don't have no oil. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Your lamp is gone out. You didn't even have no oil for your lamp, acting like you had oil and then you ran out. You didn't have no oil. That's why your lamp's not burning. Listen, the oil in the Bible throughout the Old and New Testament is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, symbolic of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Notice here that the wise had bought them some oil for their lamp. The foolish had a lamp, but they had no oil. When the foolish asked the wise for their oil, notice what the wise said in verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell. Read the next statement. and buy for yourselves. Read that statement again. And buy for yourselves. The word buy, B-U-Y, means to make an exchange. When you buy something, that's what you're doing. You're making an exchange. That's what the word means. So here they're saying, listen, we had to buy this oil. We had to make an exchange to get this oil in our life. And you're going to have to make an exchange if you want that oil in your life. See, listen, when you look at the anointing of God and the blessing of God in someone's life, it's not just there. There was something that was given up. The word buy means an exchange was made. I sacrificed something. I gave something. I paid something. Something came out of my life that something might enter into my life. The wise virgins had the oil in their life because of what they gave up in their life. They worked for that oil. They sacrificed for that oil. They prayed for that oil. There was something that went out of their life that they might have that thing come into their life. But you had the foolish that wouldn't give up anything. They wouldn't work. They wouldn't labor. They wouldn't make an exchange. They wouldn't pray. They did nothing to give up. They gave no sacrifice, and therefore there was no oil in their life. And then they came to the one that had done what needed to be done and said, hey, give us your oil. And they said, listen, we can't give you what we exchanged for. Otherwise, we don't have what we need to go see the bridegroom. You got to go to them that sell and buy, B-U-I, make the necessary exchange for yourself. Listen, we've got to come to the conclusion that other folk can't pay our price. You can't be the one praying for my breakthrough. You can't get saved for me. You can't get baptized for me. You can't get a breakthrough for me. There are some things I got to do for myself. I've got to seek the Lord. I've got to repent. I've got to own what I've done. I've got to get before God. I've got to open His Word. I've got to praise Him. I've got to make whatever sacrifices I need to make that His blessing might come on my life. Your breakthrough is not going to always come through somebody else. You've got to assume some cost. Now watch this. They said, you need to go and buy for yourself. So verse 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins. They got there late because they had to go find a convenience store that had oil that was open 24 hours. And they said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And then in verse 14, he's going to give another parable that's going to basically teach the same thing, and it's going to end with this conclusion in verse number 29. For unto everyone that hath shall be what? Given. And he shall have what? Abundance. But from him that hath not shall be what? Taken away. Even that which he hath. You can read these parables and see that the person that takes ownership, the person that takes responsibility over their life and what God has placed in their life, sees an increase in their life. But the person that takes no responsibility for their life or what God has put in their life begins to lose what's in their life. God is making a point here that if you want to expand in your life, you have to be responsible where you are. If you want to regress in life, then simply show no responsibility for where you are. See, this is a spiritual principle that determines my future. My destiny is set by my own responsibility. That's a heavy word, right? Now, I got a whole lot more that I want you to see. Let's come over to Luke, and I want to go to the 12th chapter, Luke chapter number 12. Take responsibility for your own life. Tell your neighbor that. Take responsibility for your own life. Don't let what's been done to you, don't let what the enemy has done to you or what folk have done to you write your destiny. Don't you dare sit back and say, Pastor, you just don't know what was done. You don't know what they did to me that has me in this position. Listen, don't let your enemy write your destiny. Make a decision today that whatever you've got to do, you are going to begin to take responsibility for your life, and you're not going to let all the things in your past be the excuses that justify your condition, but that you're going to break out of this restraint in the name of Jesus, and you're going to reach your full potential. And if God be for you, then who can be against you? See, what frustrates me about today's society is you have so many people that are not reaching their potential because in their mind, they're excused to be where they're at. The devil's busy. Nobody likes me. I couldn't get a breakthrough. People are so hateful. Nobody would help me. We've got all these excuses, and all that does is keep you in the place that you're at. And I want to show you today in the Word how you can begin right here and right now and say, know what? No more. I'm going to start taking responsibility for my life, and I'm not going to let the hand of man write my destiny. Amen. Did you hear what I said when I said that? I'm not going to let the hand of man write my destiny. I'm not going to let the hand of man write my destiny. I'm not going to let all the things that be against me stop me from going to the place I know God's equipped me to go. Amen. Otherwise, you become the person that is stuck in the rut, and if anyone asks you why you're there, you've got 15 reasons on why you're there, and you're stuck there, and that's not God's will for you. Hallelujah. Now, watch this here in Luke 12, and we'll look at it in verse number 48. Take responsibility for your life. Make a decision to do that today. The second thing I want you to do is take responsibility for what you've been given. Take responsibility for what God has put in your life. Watch this in Luke 12, verse number 48. The Word says this, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. It's a parable that Jesus is teaching, but notice what he says in the latter part. For unto whomsoever much is given. Let's read this part out loud together. Ready? Read. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be what? Be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. What's he saying? You have to be responsible for what God has put in your life. Take responsibility for what God has put in your life. Hallelujah. Now, if you're here today and are you hearing this message and you think, okay, you know, where do I begin with this whole responsibility? Where do I begin with God? I would say, and I would counsel every one of us to start right here with our life and say, I'm going to take responsibility for me. Even if it's my sin, I'm going to take responsibility and say, Lord, this is my sin. This is the sin I committed, and I'm going to come before you, and I'm going to own that. I'm going to say, Lord, I should never have done that. And that doesn't mean I'm going to pay the price for my sin, because I can't pay the price for my sin. But once I go before God and acknowledge that this sin is mine, then I can receive the sacrifice and the forgiveness that he gives. But how can I receive what he did for sin if I won't acknowledge that sin I did? See, Jesus has paid the price for my sin, but I can't receive the price he paid for my sin if I'm not willing to come before God and say, hey, Lord, I sinned. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So your sin can be forgiven. Your sin can be cleansed once you own it and take it before God and say, Lord, I've done some things in my life. I did this thing that I'm ashamed of, that I'm embarrassed by, and I want forgiveness of. But if you're the one that goes before the Lord and says, Lord, I would have never done that, but she provoked me. I would have never done that, but he did this to me. Then you're not taking ownership of what you did, and therefore you can't be forgiven. See, Jesus said in Matthew 12 that we will give an account for every idle word that we speak. Matthew 12, 36, that every word I speak, one day I'm going to stand before God and have to give an account for it. So imagine standing before the Lord, and the Lord says, you said this. And then you say, wait a minute, Lord, wait. There was a girl named Susan, and she was standing right there and said these things to me, and it provoked me. Where's Susie, Lord? She got to be in this line somewhere. Can we get Susie up here, Jesus? Because she will tell you what she did to provoke me. But the Lord's not going to call Susie up to verify that Susie provoked you and that be the reason why you did what you did. The point I'm trying to make is there are so many people that instead of just owning what they did, they look to the reason on why they did it. And as long as you're pointing to the reason on why you did it, you're excusing your behavior. And when you excuse your behavior, you can't receive the redemption that Jesus will give you. He can forgive you. He can make you whole. He can put that thing in your past, but not until you take responsibility for it.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.